Colossians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. On the 20th of March of this year, the Daily Telegraph had a headline in the middle of the paper: Pandemic prompts surge in prayer, Google data shows. And it goes on to say that the coronavirus pandemic resulted in a 50% surge in searches for online prayer. 55% of Americans, as Americans in general, not just believers, say that they pray every day. 21% said they pray weekly, and 23rd said they seldom or never pray, and 1% didn't know. So there you go. Don't know how they worked that out. Prayer is something that most people have some affiliation to, be they secular or spiritual. But for us as believers, it should be a given. It should be a default thing that we do. But if we're honest, prayer does not come easily to the natural man. And through these verses, through verse 2, through verse 4 really, that I want to focus on tonight, there's a couple of principles that Paul leaves with us that help us when it comes to prayer. Look at verse 2 with me. Continue in prayer. I want us to see here that we should be persistent in prayer. Persistent in prayer. The root meaning of the word continue is to adhere to or to persevere. And we have to be steadfast. We have to push on in prayer. You know, it goes without saying that you can only continue something that you've started. That book that maybe your wife got you last Christmas that you've never picked up, well, you can only finish it if you start it. That journey that you start in the car, well, you can only continue it if you've started it. And it's the same with prayer for the believer. You can only continue it when you've started it. I wonder how many of us, like myself, how many of us have really started to pray, really started to lay hold on the Lord, and really started to pray through for the work of God to be achieved in our lives. So we have to be diligent in prayer, persistent in prayer. Then secondly, notice, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We have to be diligent in prayer. Paul is appealing here not only for diligence, but vigilance in the place of prayer. It goes without saying that prayer has to be undertaken in an active frame of mind, i.e. when you're in the place of prayer, you have to be praying along with everybody else, winging those requests of your brother or sister in Christ heavenward with the shortest prayer of all, amen, to show that you're not only awake, but that you're praying with them and really pushing those petitions forward. You know, many of us face a battle when it comes to prayer. This week, of course, is Christmas week, and there's added pressure and there's busyness, and Rushmere's open to 11 tonight to allow the men here to fly up the road and get that last minute gift. But for so many of us, we come in from a busy business, a busy job, and very often maybe our prayer meeting in Lurgan's on a Thursday, but whenever you get to Thursday or whenever you get to that point of the week, it's easy to let the distractions creep in. But we have to be diligent in the place of prayer. We have to be focused on it. We have to be alert and watch together to pray. I wonder, are we sometimes content just to come along to the prayer meeting and to sit there and just listen to the prayers of others, and maybe we haven't come prepared to pray ourselves? You know, I was listening to Dr. Alan Kearns. He passed away recently, of course. He was a Free Presbyterian minister out in Greenville, South Carolina, for many years. But he said in a sermon one time, our devotional life is the first in the line of attack from the devil. You know, the enemy wants us out of the secret place of prayer as much as he wants us out of the public place of prayer. But the way he'll do that is attacking us in the private place, in the secret place. You know, an older believer in my home church where I grew up always used to implore us before any time of prayer. He used to say, little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. We have to put a guard on our prayer time. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. So often in Scripture we read that little phrase, watch and pray. watch and pray, putting a guard on our time of prayer, whether it be at home or whether it be in the corporate worship. Warren Wiersbe said, we should be constantly in fellowship with God so that prayer is as normal to us as breathing. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That little phrase at the end of verse 2, with thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful when it comes to prayer. How often do I and do we rush into prayer with, as my old pastor Dennis Lyle used to put it, an attack of the give-me's. Lord, give me this, give me this, give me that. Oh, how we need to be thankful, how we need to remember, and just to pause and to thank the Lord for his goodness in our lives, that we're here, that he saved us, that he's keeping us, and he will keep us, and that he's supplying all our needs, be it material, whatever needs those are, spiritual needs, the Lord is able to provide it. Think of the author of this passage. This is the Apostle Paul, of course, and as we read in verse 3, and we'll deal with that in a moment, he's in bonds, he's in prison. And I wonder, you know, think of the context. Paul is writing from prison. Now, if there's anybody that you could understand to be maybe a little bit reluctant to pray with any sort of thanksgiving, it would be Paul for his situation. And you know, none of us tonight, to the best of my knowledge, none of you are headed to prison. Who knows what 2021 holds? But none of you are headed to prison. But in saying that, and not to make light of your circumstances, because I don't know all of you, maybe you do have some form of prison in your life. Maybe there's something in your mind and you're nearly held captive by a prison of fear. Maybe a prison of doubt, loneliness, especially this time of year. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's illness. Maybe there's fear about the future, about your children or grandchildren. Well, being thankful, despite your circumstances, will add an energy to your prayers as you bring them before the Lord. We have to follow the example of Paul here, despite his circumstances, and continue to press on with thankful prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, as I studied that verse, I thought about this. We so often give thanks rightly for answered prayer. Maybe that relative that we've prayed for decades, years, and they come to know the Lord, and we give thanks, rightly so, for that situation, maybe at work or in a business that seemed just impossible until the Lord intervened, and we give thanks, and that's great. But shouldn't we also maybe be thankful for the unanswered prayers, or the prayers that God has chosen to answer in a different way than what we would have had answered if we could have done it ourselves? You know, one commentator put it like this, God's love wants the best for us. God's wisdom knows the best for us, and his power gets the best for us. We ought to be thankful in prayer, no matter the answer. Then fourthly, very quickly, Paul was specific in his prayer. Look at verse 3. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, I know for me, sometimes we can be very vague, maybe when we pray, especially in the public place of prayer. We maybe don't want to be too specific. But I always think it's a lovely practice in my home prayer meeting and other ones that I'm at, whenever you hear the names of people being lifted before the Lord in prayer, those maybe who are unsaved in our family and our friends and those that we work with, don't ever be afraid to lift someone's name in prayer to the Lord. It's a lovely thing to hear somebody's name being lifted in prayer. Paul was specific in asking for prayer for people, with all praying also for us that God would open up the door of utterance. Don't be afraid to pray for those who come to speak on you, for you. The boy last Sunday certainly needed your prayers, and whoever speaks this Sunday to come will always need your prayers. It doesn't matter how experienced a man is in the pulpit, they always need the power and the person of the Holy Spirit to help them on a Sunday and in your midweek. You know, if you pray for specific things, and when we know God answers prayer in those specific things, then we can give thanks for it. Warren Wiersbe again says, maybe it's our lack of faith that causes us to pray generally instead of specifically. And as we pray tonight, can I encourage you just to lift up those names of people that you know and that you love and you want to see saved, or maybe those that are sick and need a special touch from the Lord at this time. Don't be afraid to lift them up before the Lord tonight. Then fifthly, very quickly, Paul prayed for gospel opportunity, withal praying also for us that God would open up unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Remember, Paul's in prison. And I know if we were honest, I don't think I would be praying that God would give me an opportunity to preach the gospel. I'd be praying that the Lord would open those doors and let me out of the chains and I could get back to what I thought I was to be doing. Not Paul. He didn't ask for those doors to be opened, but he actually asked for an opportunity right where he was at. Right where he was at. For Paul, it was better to be faithful to his calling than to be a free man. And you know, maybe tonight, you're obviously not in prison, you're here tonight, but maybe you feel trapped where you're at. And you feel, oh, if only if I was in a different circumstance or situation, I could be so much more useful to the Lord. Maybe you're trapped in a certain job or a career or a certain situation, and maybe you've brought it before the Lord and you've asked the Lord to, Lord, can you not just remove me from this? I could be so much more effective somewhere else for you. But yet, maybe that's exactly where the Lord wants you to be, because through that you learn in those difficult situations. And through those situations, maybe you meet people that nobody else in this church, no pastor, no preacher will ever be able to reach those people, only you. And that ultimately, the gospel of Christ would be able to shine into their lives and that you would have the preeminence. I wonder, do you pray for gospel opportunities? I know in maybe quiet times and devotionals, it's very easy to sort of throw out a cliche, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, give me an opportunity, Lord, and maybe you don't really think much about it. And then when that opportunity presents itself, we have to take them. A couple of weeks ago, I was in one of our offices. I have to be generic here, but I was in one of our offices, and I got chatting to a lady in the office, known her for a couple of years, and somehow the conversation came around to spiritual things. She's from a different background to myself, and we got talking about spiritual things and Christmas and all the rest of it. And she asked me in the course of the conversation, what did I think about heaven? So I explained about heaven and how I was going to go to heaven. Not because of anything that I had done, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he'd done for me at Calvary. And then the question came around, how can you be sure that you're saved? And this opportunity just opened up out of nowhere in the whole office. It was amazing. And I simply just told her that I believe on the authority of Scripture that my sin has been dealt with, past, present, and future. And she said, even the future ones? She couldn't get her head around this. And I said, yes. I said, could I get you a Bible? Oh, that would be great. We're told not to read the Bible. I said, that's no problem. I'll get you a Bible. So I flew out, tried not to break any speed limits. And where I work, you can get up to a 2-hour lunch. So it was very useful. Flew out, managed to get her a Bible and put the Bible into her hand. And it was like handing over a gold bar. And she's promised to read it over Christmas. So you can pray for that lady that she would come to a knowledge of the truth. Opportunities that present themselves. And no, maybe you're here tonight and you know, you might think, okay, for you, Philip, when you're up, you know, speaking in front of people and maybe singing and different things, you know, you can reach people, but I can't really reach people. That's not my gift. My father-in-law, none of you will know my father-in-law, but he has a gift for one-to-one evangelism. He's just able to get these opportunities. And I remember being on I think it was half term, and my wife and I went with my mother and father-in-law and my sister-in-law and her now husband down to that awful place down the road. Well, is it Kildare? You call it where that shopping centre is. So we were all dragged down to Kildare and we were staying in the hotel. And me and the father-in-law hit the spa. And we were sitting in the hot tub. I'll never forget. Sitting in the hot tub, another gentleman joined us. And within about 10 minutes, my father-in-law had the conversation around the spiritual things and was witnessing to this gentleman in the hot tub. I couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there looking at him. In the end, up he sent down a book and a Bible to him, and Well, eternity will reveal the outcome of that conversation. Now, you don't have to witness in a hot tub. You can if you want, but you don't have to do that. But you have certain circumstances. You have situations that you embark on every day, even in school, all these different situations that you are able. You pray that that God would open unto you a door of utterance, that he would open that door. That's the last thing I just want to notice about that particular verse. It's God that opens us the doors for witness and for opportunity. Very easy to rely on ourselves, that we can try to push and open doors, but it's God that gives us the doors. And what a comfort that is, because it lets us know that we're not relying on ourselves to carry out God's work, but he'll enable us, he'll help us, he'll give us the opportunities. I wonder, as you read these verses, were you challenged like I was? Are we really praying for opportunities? Clear-cut gospel opportunities that we be able to reach out to those that we know and we love to share the gospel of Christ. Then lastly, very quickly, we have a prayer for simplicity. A prayer for simplicity. The last part, that I would make it manifest. Verse 4, that I would make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul here just asks the Lord that, or he just says that I make it manifest, make it clear, make it direct, make the gospel message clear and simple. You know, there's no prizes, there's no medals for making the gospel message as complicated or as deep as you can. It's a simple message, really, isn't it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a simple, simple message. And yes, we know that whenever we come to the Lord and we get saved, there's then the unsearchable riches of Christ that we can glean from and we can learn from. But prior to being saved, we didn't need a complicated message. How many of us, if I was to take a quick poll here tonight, I'll not do it, but how many of us came to know the Lord Jesus Christ maybe as a young child at our mother or father's knee? Very often that is the case for us. It's very easy to share the gospel simply without diluting down the contents of the gospel. You know, in Northern Ireland, we're probably on the start of the downward slide, comparatively speaking to the rest of maybe the UK and the world for Bible literacy and knowledge. There's now entire generations of children growing up in Northern Ireland who haven't got a clue about the Bible. They don't go to any sort of Sunday school. And I was speaking to Nigel on Sunday, and one of the concerns is how you're going to get the children's work back up and going. And that's a concern replicated right across many churches. Very concerned about children missing out at this time. And what a challenge it is to us that we are able to witness to those that we work with that have grown up, perhaps not knowing anything about the Bible or the gospel. And it might seem a daunting task for us to simplify down the gospel, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. He's able to make it simple, to make it clear. You know, there's a lot to learn from these couple of verses, and tonight I just want to leave you in closing with a quote that I read just last night from Charles Spurgeon. And it simply says this, if I can find it. He who lives without prayer, he who lives with little prayer, he who seldom reads the word, and he who seldom looks up to heaven for a fresh influence from on high, he will become a person whose heart will be dry and barren. May the Lord add his own blessing to this word tonight, and also that he would save us from being dry and barren Christians, and that we would be effective in our witness and our prayers for those around us. Thank you.